But now, starting in chapter 7 to the end of the book, is more technical, a lot more prophecy. Remember when the wise men were sent by Herod to inquire about when Jesus should be born? Where did they get that information? The book of Daniel, chapter 9, which we'll get to soon, which laid out exactly how many years it would be from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the Messiah. And here in chapter 7, like I say, a very technical passage. Tonight's not as practical as typical, but we need these because there's so much learning here about the future. So we'll just start there with the first few verses. We'll pray and dive in here in chapter 7 of Daniel. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. And I beheld in another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So tonight we talk about an everlasting kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now, as we look into your precious word, you'll use it to teach us. And Lord, we believe in its power to grow us, and we pray now that you would guide us in your perfect truth. We thank you for your word and the privilege to assemble and open it together tonight. We love you, commit the service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What you're going to find is this dream, which, by the way, this took place, if you want to look at it chronologically, between chapters 4 and 5. Now, how do we know this? Because remember, it says when Belshazzar was king. Well, by last week's chapter, he had already died and been replaced. The Babylonian Empire had been replaced by the Medes and Persians, remember? So he's now going back and describing a dream that he had during the reign of Belshazzar, which helps the book to be more history in the beginning and more prophecy in the end. But just wanted to help you there with that chronology. And then he describes these four winds, and then, of course, the four beasts. And it's up to us now to compare Scripture with Scripture and understand what these represent. So first we see there in verse 2, the four winds strove upon the great sea, implying that it's from all directions that this is taking place. Of course, we know that the devil's the god of this world. And this great sea, of course, waters often in the Bible represent nations. If you go to Revelation 17, verse 15, we'll see this. And he is going to be describing for us, the world kingdoms from the time of Babylon up into the time of Jesus Christ, laying it all out. Remember, time means nothing to God. And for God to write a chapter like this through Daniel is nothing for him, even though many of the things given in this chapter are at least 2,500 years in the future. God just wrote it all down for us and told us what was going to happen. Notice Revelation 17, 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So often the waters can be representative, as we see, of people groups or nations. And that is the case here. But now let's go back and look at these four beasts, and he's going to explain them for us. later on in the chapter. So in verse 3 of Daniel 7, we have four beasts coming up upon the sea, diverse one from another. And these correspond back to the image that we saw in chapter 2. Remember, with the four types of metal going as it went down, the value of the metals went down. First gold, then silver, then brass, and then iron. Representing, first one representing Babylon, the second one the Medes and the Persians, the third one Alexander the Great, and the last one, of course, Rome. We know this; these tie together because if you look down at verse 17 of chapter 7, Daniel says, "These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth." So we know again that the four beasts represent four kingdoms, just like the four parts of the image from chapter 2 represented four kingdoms. And by the way, they're the same four kingdoms, as we'll see. So the final beast, though, we get to see some expansion upon that one, this beast of Revelation, which we'll see him. And if you go, well, actually turn there now. Keep your hand in Daniel 7. Go to Revelation chapter 13 quickly. And then in your other hand, I'm just kidding. Revelation 13, verse 2. He says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now, you can't, in this modern day and age, be a Christian and not have already heard about the beast that's coming during the tribulation period. And that of course, will be this final beast. So, we have these four beasts. We have the lion, we have the bear, we have the leopard, and then, what was the last one? Oh, we'll get there. Anyway, let's go to the lion. So, verse 4 of Daniel 7, "The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." So, of course, we know that the lion is the king of the beasts, right? We call it that. And this is the Babylonian Empire, which would have been the golden part of the image of chapter 2. And can anybody think of a king who was plucked up, in other words, humbled, and then given a new heart? Nebuchadnezzar. We saw it happen in the previous chapters, didn't we? Where his pride lifted him up. He said, "Look at this great kingdom that I built." God warned him in advance a year before what would happen if he didn't humble himself. And then he ended up running on all fours and eating grass for a while. And afterwards he said, "God is great and I'm nothing." He learned his lesson, didn't he? And so that is referring to Nebuchadnezzar, who was plucked up or humbled and then given this new heart, a heart of humility, a heart of worshiping and honoring the God of heaven. Then in verse 5, we see this other beast, like a bear, raised up on one side, had three ribs in its mouth, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, "Arise, devour much flesh." The Medes and the Persians, as we've already seen in the book of Daniel, that empire devoured the Babylonian Empire, which at the time was an alliance of Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. And date-wise, it's the same. Babylon was from around 606 to 538 B.C., and the Medo-Persian Empire was from 538 to 330 B.C., Then in verse 6, "Behold, and another like unto a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it." We're going to see later another dream where it's explained that the Greek Empire, which was headed by Alexander the Great, eventually was divided into four divisions given to his four generals. We all know this to be true from history. The Greek Empire lasted from 323 to about 30 B.C., so almost 300 years. This empire ruled the world. And this, of course, is the Greek Empire led by Alexander the Great. Then we get to chapter 7. "And then in night visions a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth." Remember the feet of the image? Were iron mixed with clay. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. Now the Roman Empire eventually did do this very thing. It devoured the Greek Empire and became the greatest empire on earth for a very long time, as we know. And the 10 horns, of course, correspond to the 10 toes that we saw in the image of chapter 2. And like we've already explained, there's not been a world-dominating power since Rome. The world has been broken up into, I forget how many countries we have now, 160 countries, something like that. Anyway, up into Rome, each of the kingdoms basically ruled the world, as we've seen. And that all broke apart. Now, it's telling us that there's eventually going to be also a federation of 10 nations. Look down in verse 24 of chapter 7. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And I'm sure you've all heard about the federation of 10 kingdoms, which will come about during the tribulation period. And so this dispensationally, this kingdom of Rome, even though it was 2,000 years ago for you and me, in God's program, it just flows right into the tribulation period. How do we know this? Well, because there's a spiritual empire that runs the world that we read about. We just saw a glimpse of it in Revelation 17, Revelation chapter 18. And this spiritual empire is run by none other than Rome. And this little horn that we see come up has to be the Antichrist. Look down at verse 25. It says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of time." That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So this is the Antichrist of the dispensational extension of the fourth and last Roman Empire, or last great empire, which is Rome. Now, if you go to Revelation 17 and 18, which we're not going to do to save time, you'll read that it is run by a city that sits upon seven hills. There's only ever been one city called that. It's the city of Rome. So this spiritual empire will be somehow connected to Rome. And so that's led Christians for centuries to say, yes, the Pope's going to be the Antichrist. Not necessarily. We don't know. We just know that that system, that whole Catholic system, which has over 1 billion people, is somehow involved in the one world dominating spiritual power, which will be run by this little horn, the Antichrist. Now, remember, we just read here that he will speak great things. Go to Revelation 13:5, and this is how we'll know this is the Antichrist. And you'll see the correlation. When you put Daniel and Revelation together, it's amazing. They fit like a glove. Notice Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth," look at these next three words, "speaking great things." There it is. The exact same phrase from Daniel 7:8 is in Revelation 13:5. "He'll speak great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue," how long? 42 months. A time and a times and a half a time. 42 months, 3.5 years. Perfect correlation there. And then if you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, again, we'll see that this little horn must be the Antichrist that is yet to come and is a spiritual dispensational extension of the final empire of Rome. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." This is what the Antichrist, or this is what the devil has wanted for the past 6,000 years, is to be worshipped as God. He gets his wish for a short little time. And the whole world would be worshiping the devil, but they'll think that they're worshiping God. The world isn't going to say, all hail devil. They're going to say, all hail God. They'll be worshiping the Antichrist and not realizing it. And he will be ruling and reigning over the entire earth, not only economically and politically, but spiritually. Aren't you glad we won't be here? All right, let's go back to our chapter, chapter 7, verse 9. And the good thing about chapter 7 versus the image of chapter 2 is we get to see the finish. So notice chapter 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Amen. This is what we're waiting for. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Who's this? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, and let's see if we can find out who this is. Pay close attention to the hair like wool and the eyes like a flame of fire. And look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. And look what we find. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. If you read the context, this is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is this Ancient of Days that will come and knock out all the other kingdoms and set up his kingdom. Amen. And he will, if you go back to our passage, chapter 7, verse 11 of Daniel, I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain. Amen. The devil loses. Praise God. The devil loses. And we read in Revelation 19 that the beast will be cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So the beast will be slain by none other than the Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. What are these clouds? Go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And the clouds, it looks like, may not be literal clouds, but I think that you'll find that the clouds is you and me coming back with Jesus. Notice Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every lash shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. If you look over in Jude, verse 14, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's us coming back with Jesus. And we get to watch him set up his kingdom, and then we get to rule and reign with him in his kingdom. So, Daniel 7:14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's Jesus. We read in Luke 19 when Jesus told a parable talking about a nobleman that went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's Jesus. Went to heaven after his ascension, and he will return and set up his kingdom. Verse 14, Daniel 7, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Jesus' kingdom, it's 1,000 years on earth, but it's an everlasting kingdom. Because after the 1,000 years, God burns up the earth, starts over, but the kingdom carries on. And that is also in Daniel chapter 2. So if you want to turn back there, in verse 44, it says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the Lord Jesus Christ will have an eternal kingdom. All right, so let's go back to Daniel 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So when we come back with Jesus, we get to know that Christ has destroyed all other kingdoms and his kingdom will last forever. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and of his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head and the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn had 10 had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. For a short time, the devil will believe that he's winning. Or he'll feel like he's winning, maybe. Because I think the devil knows the end, but he still fights. If you look down at verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints, which we read already. But this is in Revelation 13:7. So if you want to turn over there quickly. For a short time. Did you ever wonder why most hotels don't have a 13th floor? Or why 13 is a superstitious number? It's because of Revelation 13. That has been true for 2,000 years. Because Revelation 13 is the chapter about the beast. And the chapter about the number of the beast, of course, 666, and the mark of the beast. That's all in Revelation 13. That's why it's always been the number that people have avoided. But we're not afraid of it. Amen? We have the Lord. Revelation 13:7, it was given unto him, who's that? The Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so the saints possess the kingdom, hallelujah. But let's finish Daniel 7, verse 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time, which you already read in Revelation 13:5, is 42 months or 3.5 years. It says in verse 26, but the judgments shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. When you compare 7 years to 6,000 years, the devil doesn't get much, does he? As far as being in control and ruling and reigning over all of mankind. Yes, he's the God of this world, but he does not rule and reign over us. Amen? But during that 7 years, he will openly, it won't, no more covert about it, he'll be openly accepting worship from Jerusalem and be sitting on the throne of David for a very short time. And then will come this verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. That's our title tonight. So that's our introduction. I'm kidding. I hope we learned a few things. I knew it was going to be technical. But God was really getting the message across to Daniel of all the prophets about the future. The future kingdoms, the Antichrist, and of course the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The timing of it all and the layout of it all. Isn't it fascinating to just sit back and think about you're in Daniel's time and for him to get this dream and to be explaining it and writing it down for mankind. Here he is predicting, let alone 600 years of human history, perfectly, but then the tribulation of the kingdom, laying it all out. It's now been 2,600 years since he gave this prophecy, and it still perfectly lines up with the book of Revelation. That's impossible unless God did it. Amen? But don't we look forward to that everlasting kingdom? that we get to be a part of. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel, for the great